Chapter 55. Zed winced in pain. He heard someone calling his name again. The voice sounded like it was drifting into him from some distant world. He didn't want to answer the call, didn't want to open his eyes, didn't want to be fully conscious and have to feel the full brunt of awareness. "Zed!" the voice called again. A big hand shook him, gently rocking his body back and forth. Zed forced his eyes open just a little, squinting with a full dread of consciousness. Rika and Tom, hunched over him, were both looking down with intent worry. Zed saw that the side of Tom's blonde hair was matted with blood. "Zed, are you all right?" It was Rika's voice, he realized. He blinked, trying to tell if every bone in his body was broken or if it only felt that way. Fear, lurking in the shadows of his mind, whispered that this might be the end of everything. His middle hurt. That was where Six's spell had caught him. He felt like a fool. Having taken the measure of her before, he had been prepared. He had been sure that he could counter the woman's ability. And he would have been able to, except that she had caught him off guard with a form of constructed spell. A little surprised that she had drawn in the caves, patiently waiting for his arrival should he ever enter her domain. Even though it was the type of thing he'd never known a witch woman to do, he should have considered that possibility. He should have been ready for a trick. She was a witch woman, not a sorceress or wizard, and she knew that, while she had considerable talents of her own, she was vulnerable to certain things Zed could do. He had revealed some of those things back at the wizard's keep, by preventing her from killing him and the others when she tried. She had learned from that experience and found a way to construct a counter, something that was simply out of character for a witch woman. It was quite brilliant, actually, but right then he wasn't exactly in the mood to marvel at her accomplishment. "Zed," Rika said, "are you all right?"
"I think so," he managed.
"You?"
Rika grunted with a note of displeasure. They were certainly ready for us. Whatever she did kept me from being able to stop her.
"Well, don't feel bad. She did the same to me."
"With you unconscious, all those soldiers were more than I could handle," Tom added.
"Sorry, Zed, but I let you down when you needed me the most. I should have been the steel against steel for you."
Zed squinted up at the man.
"Oh, don't be silly. Steel has its limits. It was I who shouldn't have allowed us to be taken in such a way. I should have known better and been prepared for it."
"I guess we all failed," Rika said.
"Worse, we failed Richard. We didn't even make it into the cave to help him. We need to get into the cave to break that spell keeping him from his gift."
"Not much hope of that now," Rika said.
"We'll see about that," Zed grumbled. "At least it appears we're safe for the moment. Unless Six returns to finish us."
Zed peered up at the man. "You're a comfort."
With the help of both of them pulling on his arms, Zed sat up.
"Where are we, anyway?"
he asked as he looked around in the dim light.
"Some sort of prison room," Tom said. "The walls are entirely stone, except for the door. The hallway outside is filled with guards."
It wasn't especially large. A lantern burned on a small table. There was a single chair. Other than that, the room was barren.
"The ceiling is beams and planks," Zed observed.
"I wonder if I could breach them with my power. Enough for us to sneak out of here."
With their help, he staggered to his feet. Rika steadied him as he lifted an arm to use his gift to probe the ceiling.
"Bags," he muttered. "When she used that constructed spell, she also put some kind of barrier around this room. It keeps me from breaching it with my gift. We're sealed in."
"Something else," Tom said. "The guards are mostly Imperial Order soldiers. It appears that Six is working on the same side as Jagang."
Zed scratched his scalp. "Great, that's all we need."
"At least she didn't kill us," Tom offered.
"Yet," Rika added.
Zed squinted as he looked up at the ceiling. He pointed.
"What's that?"
"What?" Tom said, looking up.
"That there, at the edge of the ceiling, up against the wall. There's something wedged between that last beam and the top of the wall."
Tom pulled the chair over and used it to reach the dark bundle hidden in the shadow of the beam. He tugged on it until it suddenly fell to the floor. Some of the things inside tumbled out.
"Dear spirits," Zed said. That's Richard's pack. He recognized some of the things that had fallen out. He bent to right the pack, inspecting the clothes briefly before stuffing them back inside the pack. When he lifted the black shirt trimmed in gold and returned it to the pack, he spotted a book lying on the floor. He picked it up, squinting in the dim light of the lantern. "What sort of book is it?" Ricker asked. Tom leaned closer to see. "What does it say?" Zed could hardly believe what he was seeing. "The title says Secrets of a War Wizard's Power." Ricker let out a low whistle.
"My sentiment as well," Zed muttered as he inspected the front and back covers.
"Where in the world would Richard have gotten such a thing? This could be invaluable." "What does it say about his powers?" Ricker asked, as if eager for gossip. Zed opened the cover and turned over a page, then another. He blinked in surprise. "Dear spirits," he murmured in astonishment. Nikki looked up when she saw a shadow fill the doorway. It was Kara. "How are you doing?" the moored Sith asked in a quiet voice that seemed to get lost in the somber room. Nikki's gaze wandered off to stare into space. She couldn't really see the relevance of the question. She supposed that Kara was just trying to find something to say, something that reflected her genuine concern. It struck Nikki as tragic that a moored Sith would come to finally possess such simple, decent qualities when it was too late to matter. "I don't know anymore, Kara. Have you figured out what went wrong?" Nikki looked up from the padded leather chair she was in. "What went wrong? Isn't it pretty obvious?" Kara stepped closer and idly stroked a finger along the other side of the mahogany table. In the dimly lit library, her red leather stood out like a splash of blood. "But Lord Rawl will find a way back." It sounded to Nikki like a plea rather than a statement. "Kara, if Richard was coming back, he would have been back 10 days ago," Nikki said in a dejected voice, unable to summon a lie. Kara deserved more than to have the truth obscured with the deceit of false hope. "Well, maybe it took longer than the two of you thought it would take." Nikki wished it were that simple. She shook her head. "He should have been back by the next morning. Since he never returned, that means he didn't survive what he—"
"But he has to come back!"
Kara shouted as she leaned over the table, unwilling to allow Nikki to finish such a thought. Nikki watched the anxiety on Kara's face for a moment. What was there to say? How could she explain such a thing to a person who didn't really understand the things that were involved? "Believe me, Kara," Nikki said at last, "I want him to return just as much as you do. But if he was able to survive the spell and the journey to the underworld, he would have been back long ago. He couldn't stay there this long."
"Why not?"
"You might say that it's a little like diving to the bottom of a lake. You can hold your breath for a time, but you need to come back out of the water within a certain amount of time. If you get your foot caught under a log at the bottom of the water, you will drown. He couldn't survive there this long. Since he didn't return when he should have, well, maybe he came out somewhere else. Maybe he came up for air in another place." Nikki shook her head. "Imagine that the lake is covered with ice. The hole he went through, that's the spells and the sorcerer's sand, is the only way back out. The boxes of Ordon are a gateway. This part of it was using elements of Ordon, of that gateway. The underworld is just emptiness." She knew she was getting tangled up trying to make it understandable to Kara. Nikki didn't even fully grasp the nature of the underworld herself. "Let's just say that if he tried to come up somewhere else under the ice of the frozen lake, he couldn't break through. He needs to come back through that hole he cut, the hole he created in the underworld, through the gateway. Does that make any sense?" "In a way. But it should have worked." She gestured to all the books lying open all over the table. "The two of you had it all figured out. Dark and Rawl did it. There is no reason this wouldn't have worked just the same. There's no reason it shouldn't have worked for Richard just as well." Nikki looked away from Kara's intent blue eyes. "Yes, there is." Kara straightened. "What do you mean? What reason?" "The beast." Kara stared for a long moment.
"The beast? You think the beast might have found him there? In the underworld?"
Nikki shook her head. No, the beast found him here, in this world, as he drew the spell. When Richard finally went through that gateway he'd created, it was waiting and ready. The beast followed him into the underworld. Kara's expression was somewhere between horrified and enraged. But he would have fought it! Nikki looked up from under her brow. How? Well, I don't know. I'm no expert on such things. Neither is Richard. In the underworld, it would be different than here. In the past, he used his sword or the shields to stop it. When the beast appeared the last time, he was able to shoot it with one of those special arrows. What was he going to do to fight it in the underworld? He had to go naked. He had no weapons, no way to fight it. Kara's expression tipped toward enraged. Then why would you allow him to go? He had already gone into the underworld when I saw the beast. It went down after him. There was simply no way to stop the beast or even to warn Richard. There had to be some way you could have stopped him. Nikki stood. Going to the underworld is something he had to do if he was to have had a chance to use the power of Warden. Without going, he can't counter Chainfire. And if he can't counter Chainfire, we're all lost. Besides, I couldn't have stopped him if I wanted to. Kara paced before the table. But it's going to be the new moon in a few days. We're running out of time. There has to be something you can try. There has to be a chance that he's still trapped there, holding his breath. Lord Rawl has never given up on us. Lord Rawl would fight with his last breath for us. Nikki nodded as she stepped around the table. You're right. I'll go back to the Garden of Life and cast some calling spells. She knew it was a silly idea. She knew that such a thing was not only impossible, but a waste of time. Still, she felt like she needed to do something or she would go mad. Or it would at least make Kara feel better until the end came. Besides, what else was there to do now? Good idea, Kara said. Do some calling spells until you pull Lord Rawl back. Out in the hallway, Nikki saw that in both directions it was blocked off by men of the first file. They each had a crossbow armed with a red-fletched bolt. It looked like the men were deliberately sealing off the library area. Nikki saw the top of Nathan's head of white hair as he made his way through the dense wall of men. The prophet finally stepped through all the soldiers. Spotting Nikki, he immediately headed toward her. His face looked more than grim. Just seeing the look on his face made Nikki's mouth go dry. Nathan, what is it? She asked as he came to an abrupt halt before her. His azure eyes looked tired. I'm sorry, Nikki, but this is the only way. Nikki blinked in confusion. She glanced briefly to the soldiers standing shoulder to shoulder across the hallway. They, too, looked bleak about being there. What is the only way? She asked. He looked away from her eyes to wipe a weary hand across his face. Richard and I had an earnest talk before he left on his dangerous journey. He told me that if he failed to return, I should do what must be done to save the people here from the horrors Jagang would set loose upon them. Without Richard, prophecy says that we will lose in this final battle. We have always known that. I know a thing or two about going to the underworld, Nikki. I am familiar with the spell forms he used. I've been up to the Garden of Life. I've studied the things he did. Richard got it all correct. It should have worked. The beast chased him into the underworld, Kara said. Nathan sighed heavily, but didn't look all too surprised. I figured it had to be something like that. The thing is, I've studied the methods Richard used. Kara appeared hopeful that the prophet could offer an answer that Nikki couldn't provide. Good. Have you figured out a way to get him back from the underworld? Nikki's going to cast calling webs. Maybe you could help her. The two of you together... Her voice trailed off. Nathan didn't look in the mood to entertain such nonsense. There is no such thing, Kara. We can't get him back from the underworld after this amount of time. Richard is lost to us. Kara blinked away tears, unable to abide such a proclamation. The Emperor is going to get in here, Nathan said. It's only going to be a matter of time. The Great Void will shortly be upon us. All we can do now is hope to spare as many people in the palace as possible. Nikki held up her chin. I understand. The only way to do that is to surrender the palace as soon as the new moon arrives, and to do it in the way that Jagang has demanded. Nikki swallowed. I can't say that I know any other way, Nathan. I'm sorry, Nicky. His voice revealed just how sincere his words were, but I need to prepare a number of things, so I'm going to have to put you under arrest and have you securely locked up until Jagang comes on the new moon to collect you. Nicky felt a tear roll down her cheek, not for herself, but for the loss of Richard to all the people who had been depending on him to turn the tide, to fight the final battle, to at last do what only Richard could do. You don't need all the guards with those arrows. She managed to keep her voice from breaking. I will go peacefully. Nathan nodded. Thank you for not making this any more difficult than it already is.